Welcome to Water Talks coverage from ACE 17, broadcasting live from Philadelphia. ACE, uniting the world of water. Water Talk is made possible by WaterOnline.com, showcasing today's water industry leaders and innovators. And now, here is your host, Todd Schnick.
All right, good afternoon and welcome back to Water Talk. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Bill King. This is going to be a fun conversation. We're going to talk about a lot of interesting subjects here.
Yeah, definitely. Great to have our next guest on the show. I understand he just got into town, so fresh out of the car, and here we go.
Let's get to it. We're joined by Rich Henning, a Senior Vice President of Communications with Suez North America. Rich, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Todd. Thank you, Bill. Look forward to it.
So do we. Before we get into our conversation, Rich, take a quick minute and tell us a bit about you, your background, and what Suez is all about.
Sure. Why don't I start with the company first, and I'll jump into me. But Suez, here in North America, we have roughly about 3,500 employees. We're present in all 50 states. We have virtually three business lines. The first business line is where we own and we operate utilities, primarily in the Northeast United States, but we do have a utility that we own in Boise, Idaho as well. We're in the business of signing contracts with municipalities for their water or their waste services, and we have 73 of those contracts all throughout the United States as well. And finally, we're in the business of assisting municipalities, probably mostly in the small to medium size, with well maintenance or storage tank asset management programs aimed directly to help the municipality make their operations better.
Outstanding. All right. Well, I understand that you went to the UN Conference for Oceans not too long ago and walked out of there making a couple of very important commitments. Walk us through all that.
I will tell you, first of all, that being in the United Nations, first of all, was just superbly exciting. Mm-hmm. But to be there, you know, with all the NGOs and basically all the other countries of the world sitting there really talking about the world's oceans and the difficulties that you face in terms of trying to clean them up, the amount of plastic, you know, that's sitting out there in the ocean now, how to deal with that and how to prevent it from getting worse. Our commitments, we made two commitments at the UN conference last week in New York. And the first commitment was preserving our environment and protecting the oceans. And by doing so, we believe that wastewater is one of the primary, you know, pollutants of ocean water. And that, you know, it was up to us, not just private industry, but certainly the public wastewater companies as well, to be able to come up with a plan and a program and the treatment and the technology to be able to improve the quality of the water that we're sending back into the ocean, just to be able to improve aquatic life and improve the livability, if you will, of our oceans. When you think about it, you know, we depend on them so much for food, we depend on them so much for a resource, that to think that, hey, you know what, there's a limit there, and we may have very well started to approach that limit. Yep. So for us, it was very intrinsic to our business and kind of a natural thing for us to make that commitment. The second commitment we made is exciting as well, and it's to unleash, if you will, the power of our 83,000 employees across the world. And we're talking, from the beaches of Morocco to Sydney, Australia, to the South China Sea, to the beaches of Normandy, and over here in New York Harbor, as well as Santa Monica Bay in Los Angeles, down to Mexico. All across the world, we've made a commitment to unleash our 83,000 employees to participate in ocean cleanups, riverbank cleanups, and really try to affect, if you will, the coastlines and ensure that some of those plastics that are making their way into the ocean find a safer place to be disposed of here whether it's recycling the plastic or whether it's a safer just a safe disposal to make sure that they're not finding their way into the oceans.
It sounds fascinating. I wanted to take you back to the wastewater commitment that you made. That sounds like a huge tall order. Where does that start for Suez? How do you start that initiative?
I think that initiative begins, you know, in some areas it begins with regulation, and that's regulating the type of effluent that you're allowing, you know, the percentage of nitrogen, how much phosphorus is going to be put into the water stream. That's a technical conversation that has to be had. And it has to be had you know, by whether it's not going to be a central government issue, and in many countries it is a central government issue. But here, you know, we also have DEPs or environmental protection authorities and agencies all along the coastlines of the United States. So in many instances, it's what the states regulate. Mm-hmm. And you know, our belief is that technology is there. It needs to get implemented to start improving and really not just helping the aquatic life, but, you know, by that same token, you're going to be helping the, you know, deliver cleaner beaches and safer swimming water. And as we start looking at desal, which has become a little bit more popular over the last several years, you're looking at a better quality of water to be able to use for that as well.
Yeah. So step back a moment and talk a little bit about how this is kind of like where the industry is moving and where do you see the industry trending in the future here?
You know, in our belief, the complexity of the water industry has increased probably almost tenfold, if you will, over the last, you know, 10 to 20 years. We're looking at projects now. We're about to sign a design build in Woonsocket up in Rhode Island. And you start looking at the complexity of these deals, you know, where you have, I mean, we're basically an operator, but we're also a technology company. So we're working with an engineering firm to be able to bring those kinds of assets to the communities that we're serving so that their effluent can not just meet, you know, if you will, the EPA regulatory requirements, but actually be better than that and better for the environment and in the long term, better for our oceans. So we're really looking at the complexity of these types of deals, and not just from a treatment technology complexity, but also from a financial complexity, right? And I think as we move further along that that paradigm, we're going to see more and more complex deals that are going to be worked out by most of these communities that are looking for that kind of technology.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point on the financial side. So what is why is everything becoming more complex?
Because we live in more complex times, you know, and technology in itself seems to breed, you know, complexity, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, where perhaps that simpler time that we lived in maybe 20, 30 years ago, where there weren't cell phones and there wasn't that access to everything that you need on your handy mobile phone. We lived in a simpler time. When you went on vacation, you actually sort of went on vacation, you know? You went to the beach or the lake and you just relaxed for a week or two. And now, you know, you bring your laptop, you bring your mobile phone, and your office is basically in your pocket, and it's attached to you every day. So I think life itself has become more complex, and the financing, the water treatment techniques, and everything else has kind of joined, if you will, as technology has evolved.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier this water reuse as and again, that's a sort of complexity that wasn't there, you know, a decade ago, that you had your drinking water and you had your wastewater and the two didn't really mix. And now we're seeing this evolution of water reuse kind of coming in the middle of those. Talk a little bit about where SUE is operating on the water reuse side.
You know, we began as a global company. We began looking at water reuse in the Middle East. And obviously, you know, for obvious reasons, because the water scarcity picture in the Middle East is so far different, perhaps, from anywhere else in the world. So the financing structures were there. The technology is there. And we certainly brought to bear the abilities and the capabilities that we had in not just the treatment technologies, but in putting together and then operating them. We have now had probably about a 24-year partnership with the West Basin Water Reclamation Plant out in El Segundo, California, which is, I believe, one of the largest here in the U.S. And we've been operating. It takes about 100 million gallons of wastewater from the Los Angeles metropolitan district, and we take about 60 million of that 100 million and actually re-inject it right into the groundwater. And what that does is it not just replenishes the groundwater there, but it also acts as a barrier for the saltwater intrusion as well. It's like a bubble. It sort of keeps it out of there. So You know, I think as we move forward, and you're looking at, I know Orange County has a large facility, but as you go up and down that, certainly that California coast, you're looking at these types of projects as really being the long-term answer for California's, you know, drought worries. And we obviously know the past 5 years have been very difficult on California residents, even though they had a great snowpack and the drought is off this year. But, you know, it's always right around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
Smart metering is another technology I know that you're intrigued about, and it strikes me as that's going to be a technology that I think has a really good chance of finally engaging the end user, the customers, to be much more engaged in their water solution. Talk about that some.
You're exactly right, Todd, and we saw that firsthand in our contract with Bayonne, New Jersey. We have about 60,000 residents, and we put in the smart meter reading systems, and within those systems, we actually reduced water usage in the town. And typically, what happens when you put in a new metering system, water usage goes up because, you know, the older meters are out and they don't register as much. Mm-hmm. This system, actually, we found leaks on our side in the system, on the operator side, that we were able to get into and fix. But we sent out nearly 2,000 customer letters advising customers that they had leaks on their side of the system. So we were actually, you know, you always saw those commercials about the credit cards that, you know, when, you know, sort of Big Brother is calling you saying, hey, did you take that trip to the Bahamas? Well, you know, for the first time, we were now able to actually engage with customers, give them something back for the investments that they were making, you know, on behalf of the entire system. And 2,000 people were able to stop leaks in their homes.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was their toilet leaks or they had a leak on their line, but 2,000, it was just amazing.
That's game changing.
It really is.
To be
it really
honest
is.
With you.
Exactly.
All right. Rich, sadly, we are about out of time. Before I let you go, should anyone have any questions on any of this, how can they find you and where do they learn more about Suez North America?
Well, they can come over to the Suez booth. You guys are in 900. We're roughly around 2,200. And come on in, and we'll be there for the next couple of days and certainly entertain lots of questions on everything we just talked about. And we're certainly looking forward to the rest of the show. It's been great so far, even though I've only been here about an hour. But it's been great thus far.
Outstanding. Rich Henning, Senior Vice President of Communications with Suez North America. Rich, great to have you. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Bill.
All right, that's all the time we have for now. On behalf of all of us at Water Online and Water Talk, thank you for tuning in and listening. We're signing off from Philadelphia for right now, but don't you worry, Water Talk will be right back.
This broadcast of Water Talk has been made possible by Water Online, showcasing today's water industry leaders and innovators. To learn more, visit wateronline.com. And we thank you again for listening.